Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 266, part one, Hearts. Today is Friday, November 9th, 2012.
There must be some way out of here, said the Joker to the thief. There's too much confusion, I can't get no relief. Businessmen, they drink my wine, plowmen dig my earth. None of them along the line know what any of it is worth. The thief, he kindly spoke. There are many here among us who feel that life is but a joke. But you and I, we've been through that, and this is not our fate. So let us not talk falsely now, the hour is getting late. Tower, princes kept the view, while all the women came and went, barefoot servants too. Outside in the distance, a wild cat did growl. Two riders were approaching, the wind began to howl.
Today's message is entitled, Hearts. Let's consider hearts today. Proverbs 4 and 23, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. And I think we can compare the human heart here with our United States of America today. We have missiles pointed all over in every direction. Submarines under the sea, flat cars on railways that are going God knows where, with missiles on them. And I think we are then as powerful as what we can issue forth our country. Missiles, weapons, armies, and ships. And so as strong as our country is, it depends on the way our armies are. So it is with our inward strength. That our inward strength then protects us. How strong are we in our heart? What is our heart full of? And so I have to urge the necessity of keeping the heart. Have a strong heart and have that heart full. Because that full heart is what's going to get you through. See, it's the center of our being. You know that song, you gotta have heart? All you gotta have is heart. I believe there's a lot of truth in that song. Because if you don't lose heart, you can go on with the job at hand. And I think it's our very own defense then to have a full heart. It's our chief fortress, if you will. Let that chief then fortress surrender to the enemy, and the rest will be history. Once we lose heart, we're occupied very easily. Sometimes without even a fight, because we've lost heart. We have no resistance, and the will is gone. And the enemy can sort of then capture the whole city. The Bible talks of us as cities set on a hill. And when you lose heart, oh, how that city within can go down when we lose heart. You ever saw someone that's lost heart? Their whole city, their whole body starts to hang down, and the hands hang, and the walk is sort of labored. The eyes are not glowing anymore, and they've lost all of their life. Now, I venture to say, if you go into a lot of the nursing homes, there are probably a lot of moms in there, dads in there, people in there that have lost heart. Not because they're in there, but they've lost heart because they haven't kept their eyes on the Lord. That's where the life comes from. But there are a lot of people in our country, all over the world, but we're talking about ourselves now, that have lost heart, lost hope. Being here in this mission now, 8 years, looking at people, and sometimes they even seem like they're bitter and mean and so on, but did you ever stop to think that maybe, just maybe, behind that exterior inside, it's the last dying lunge, and people are losing their heart, lost hope. And I think that we need to be that hope, and we need to be that city set on a hill, the Bible says, with finger posts pointing towards that city of hope. And so then let the main stronghold be possessed by evil, and the whole land will soon be overrun. And so the heart is like a large, let's say, reservoir, a holding tank, of which supplies thousands of homes. And so is our heart then a reservoir. Out of it, the Bible says, are the issues of life flowing. When we stop doing, when we stop flowing, when we log jam with inner conflict and worries about self and so on and so on, and we log jam the reservoir, we're not issuing forth rivers of living waters, then we get stagnant. But out of our innermost being flow rivers of living water to every part of our city and to every part of our members, every member, and the body picks up, and the life returns, and the eyes lighten up. But only when we are filled with what God wants us to be filled with, love and mercy and forgiveness, forbearance, patience, understanding. Oh, you might get mad once in a while. I know people are human. But I'm talking to be consistently negative. Always looking for the negative. And so we start to get stagnant. Yes, we are a reservoir. And the life flows through different pipes, if you will. The mouth, the hand, the eye. How much life a person has, you can always tell. If they're active in their hands, there's a lot of activity in them hands, well, then there's life flowing forth into those hands. And it all comes from that holding tank, that reservoir, that heart. And if the eye is seeing, then it's got life, and there's a pipe to the eye, and there's a pipe to the foot, and a pipe to the mouth, and you can tell from whence they're speaking. But then still all the issues of the hand, the eye, and the mouth, they have their then beginning in the heart. And so isn't it important to keep this great reservoir, to keep your heart? Isn't it? Isn't it good to keep it in a good, pure, clean condition? Or else, you know, all that flows through the pipes is foul and destructive. And very often you'll find when you're listening to the radio, the moralist. Oh, they sound good. Oh, we are the moral ones. And they sound good, and their pipes sound like it's coming from a great reservoir of truth. Are you hearing this? How many hearing this message today? But the moralist and the humanist very often forget the heart. Well, if you got your heart into this message, you're going to hear it. Nothing will stop you from hearing this message, because you got your heart in it. And you came to church with an open heart. And you could come and the preacher could be a nincompoop. Wouldn't matter, because you came to see God. You didn't come to see the preacher. When you come with a right heart, it doesn't matter always what happens. It's that your heart is right. And when your heart is right, you don't hear things in a negative way. You don't take in those things, those negative things. You hear them in a positive way, and you come to worship God with all of your heart. And so maybe sometimes when people come to church, they've been fighting out in the parking lot, and the kids got black and blue marks on their rumps from pinching them. They need to get their heart right before they come into church. They need to set their reservoir. You listening on the radio, your reservoir and your hearts have to be right and have to be open to receive. And so Sue was talking about her heart. And she looked out, and there was all them little kids with them dandelions. That got her heart right, didn't it? See, even the little ones, it says in the end, will lead the old. Doesn't that happen to us all the time? What do you want? Oh, here we got a flower for you. They know how to get their cookies and milk. These kids nowadays are survivors. Don't worry too much about them. We all know how to get around our mothers and how to get to their hearts. And so we have to keep our heart in a good and a pure and a clean condition. But anyway, you moralists and humanists very often forget the heart, and they deal with the lesser powers. They say men must change their principles and their conduct will change. And they deal with the outward. What the mouth says, what the hands do, where the legs go. And so they say we need to adopt a better plan of living, a more stringent moral code. Society needs remodeling. We're the ones that are going to do it because we are so moral. Well, from what I've seen of late, I'd almost have to sing a song. Moral bridges falling down, falling down, falling down. Moral bridges falling down, my fair lady. Are you hearing this? No, we need to adopt a better plan of living. Society needs remodeling so man can show his virtues and have less temptations. Well, I mean, it doesn't work. Plan all you want, the evil heart is two steps ahead of you. You can close all the bookstores you want to, and they'll open them up in the basement of some place. You can carry your signs all you want to. Walk on Washington and stand on the steps and eat them foot-long hot dogs and make a fool out of yourself. It ain't going to do nothing for the cause of Christ. Because man needs a new heart. A new reservoir, a new holding tank. Furthermore, the Bible teaches us to judge not the world, for they are already judged. They're already under judgment. It also says, lift up, and if I be high and lifted up, I will draw all men unto myself. And be like the reservoir was filled with poison, polluted. And a humanistic and moralist says, we must change all of these pipes so that the water will run through fresh channels, our particular channels, our particular doctrines. See, what he has neglected to see in all of this is that it will do no good, yes, I said no good, none whatsoever, until that reservoir is changed, until that fountainhead is changed. The fountainhead is polluted. And it will fill from stagnant water supplies. And then what the hand pipes do and what the eye pipes see and what the lip pipes say will also be polluted. Why is it that people are so aghast when they hear someone out in the world, someone that's really having a hard time and they're swearing and carrying on, and oh my, we just want to stay away from those folks. Jesus, it says, came to save sinners. And so everybody sitting here, everyone that's listening to the radio, everyone that's listening to this tape, you're all sinners. The only difference is, some have been saved by grace, and they have a new holding tank. And so I believe in vain many rules and laws and regulations by which they hope to fashion their lives. They will not work. And I think in vain also they seek to constrain people to be good. Shiny new fixtures won't do it. No leak faucets won't do it. Better faucet controls will do no good because it's got to be that reservoir. You can change all the pipes and you can change all the faucets. You can shine them up as much as you want to. It isn't going to do a particle of good. Unless the heart be right, the best scheme of life shall utterly, the Bible says, fail. No laws, no rules, no amount of positive thinking, no training of the mind. You ever get these books where they try to train your mind? Do you know you cannot train the mind? No, you can't train the mind. Well, you can teach it things, but you can't train it to do good with the things it's taught. It always runs, the Bible says, always runs towards evil. Always. No amount of moral training. I don't care what Bible college you go to. If you're not born again. And some of the best Bible teachers are atheists. I mean, they can get the point across, but they don't get the point in the person. No matter how hard you beat on the rotten pipes or change them, it'll make no difference. It will do absolutely, positively, no good. No good whatsoever. and to point out all the fine appointments, like going into your bathroom. Well, look at this faucet. Look how shiny it is and nice it is. Do you think dirty water is going to come out of that faucet? Look at this sink. No, sir. No matter how pretty the controls are, no matter how good they look and how shiny they look, you can shine them all you want to. And the best they'll do is mirror you. You ever look in your faucet in the bathtub when you look in your face and your face is contorted? And that's all it'll do is mirror you. And so then others are saying now, and you hear it all the time, others are saying, if the life is wrong, it would be better to set the understanding straight. That's like talking to the faucet. Now, I want you to understand something here. I want clean water to issue forth from you. I have shined you. You're a good model. You're washerless. You're leak-proof. Now, I've done everything I could. I put brand new pipes all the way down the stairs. Done everything, and I want you to issue forth. Now, do you understand? You might as well be talking to your bathtub or your toilet. Oh, well, I never. Well. Yeah, it's the same difference. They say you must educate man better. Well, if man was only more educated, understanding would be like hiring a new man with more understanding. Mr. Understanding, to turn on and off the poison water from the reservoir. Now, did you hear that, Mr. Moralistic Preacher? You're probably listening on the radio. Did you hear that? You can hire all the people you want to turn on. They can have all the understanding. They can have everything. They can have shiny new faucets and brand new pipes. But until that reservoir is changed, there's going to be poisonous water issuing forth. Then some say the will of man must be changed. Did you ever try to do something on your own will? Well, you got two wills, you know. You got a will, and a won't will. How many know the won't will always wins out? Well, that's the first thing we learn how to say it. No! Isn't that right, moms? Your kids, first thing they know how to say, learn how to say it. No, I don't want to. No! They grow up that way. Only they add slang words to it. Hand signals. Well, is it the truth or isn't it? We have two wills. We have a will and a won't will, and usually always the won't will wins out until the reservoir is changed, until we are shown our old heart. I mean, really see it for what it is. Malicious and mean and gossipy and all of those things. Now, you can dress up the outside. It isn't going to do a thing for what comes out. Now, you see, the water, the source, must be purged. Well, then some say the will of man must be changed. Like the pump that forces the water through the pipe needs to be replaced. The will pump, the force must be changed. Now, new pipes would be fine, eye, lip, and hand. A new pump is great. The will pump, that's good. But first things first, the heart must be changed. The reservoir, the holding tank, if you will, must be put in, replaced. Now, new trimmings on an old garment will not make it new. You can take black chantilly lace and put it on a potato sack. That isn't going to change the character of that potato sack. Or you can put a white collar on a mechanic's grease rag and it won't change that character either. You can take a brand new body and put a brand new body around an old engine. That won't do no good. You go down these car lots and you go in there to buy a new car. You open up the hood and someone has painted that up, and you open the hood and it's almost like violins start playing. Orchestra. Horns, because you open da-da-da-da-da-da-da. It looks like it's brand new in there. They steam clean that thing. Isn't that right, Mick? Steam clean it. Get under there, scrape and clean, and get all the grease and yunk and junk off of it. And then they paint it. Do you think that helps that engine to run any better? Well, ask that lady, that mother that I met down there at Wendy's. She was so mad at that car, she took her radio out and went home. But she knew that car wasn't going to do her any good. No, it didn't change the character of it at all to put a radio in it. Well, it might have blocked out some of the noises it was making. No. So all unsaved first need a new heart. And all you that are saved need to keep your heart right so that the streams of your life would be happy for you. Beneficial to others. Do you know your heart is never happy until it's really doing what God intended it to do? Pumping forth issues of life and giving it out to someone else. Now, don't be stingy with it either. Whatever measure that you put out there, that's a measure that you're going to get back. Try it sometimes. Don't be stingy with it. Go ahead and put your whole heart into something. When you put your whole heart into it, it means something to you. You've invested in it. It's part of you. Oh, I'll tell you. If we could put our whole heart into something. I watched a movie, and it was about a town that was going dead. And so this man went to Japan, and he talked to him over there about helping him get this automobile factory together again. And there was so much scriptural truth in that. Here was all these rebellious people, and okay, we'll do half of, well, we'll go for 3/4. No, you got to put your whole heart into something. And when God sees you putting your whole heart into it, there's going to be a reward. He's going to fill you up again so he can use you as a vessel unto his glory. So we must be beneficial to others. Then that's what the whole name of the game is about here, isn't it? So first, keep the heart full. An empty fountain means empty pipes. Now I'm sure you know many people who are bone dry. You ever met a bone dry person? How's it going? Oh, okay. How are you? I'm sure you know people that are totally empty, dry, good for nothing. And they have never, ever accomplished one thing. They have no mental force. They have no moral power. And you know what they say even? No one thinks of even noticing. They're like a sort of like a runt pig trying to get in to the mother sow. And so what they do is scarcely copied. Now their children can't imitate them, for there's nothing to imitate. No moral force. And I think children, for the most part, especially in this day and age, when everyone is arguing their particular little brand of rights. And you know what I'm talking about? And it's a trick of the enemy to cause division. There's the liber movement, and there's all the, like I said Friday, when churches split up, they put on their the new reformed so-and-so church. What'd they reform from, huh? They should put on there the bigoted church, the new bigoted church. And the other one that split, they should put on there the hateful ones. No, I mean there has to be something for people to imitate. There has to be some kind of a hope for young people to look at. And what are they seeing? What are they learning? Italian stallion, white supremacy, black power, and what's that got to do with being Christ-like? Tell me. And what's the difference anyway? And so, children, for the most part, need a hope, like we all do. Don't we all need a hope? You ever have someone come up to you and say, you know what, you don't stand a prayer? Well, just answer them and say, I didn't ask you to stand and pray for me. I'll pray for myself. You aren't giving me any hope. Your half-heartedness doesn't show me anything. Once in a while, I'll get people in, they'll be sent down from court referral. And right away, I almost tell them, like, go home, because you're not going to do yourself no good and me no good. Now, on the other hand, you get them there so full of zest and vim and vigor, you know, and then you'll get one that's, you're a slave driver. Huh? You're like Jim Jones or something, you know? I'm not easily insulted. Takes quite a bit. Because my hope isn't in what that person had to say. No, if it was, I'd be laying on the floor. But yet, that particular person that says things like that needs ministry. He needs someone to imitate. Someone that just says, hey, someone even might even say, hey, shut up and do your work. Doesn't sound too religious, does it? I'm not here to be religious. I'm here to tell the truth. Just shut up and do your work. Be quiet. Boy, it's getting quiet in here. Getting quiet on the radio. Do you think that's Christ-like? Jesus said it. Cast the first stone. In other words, open your mouth up. When you're really into something, sometimes, oh, you got to be that witness. And then you go back and you say, I suppose I could say, I'm sorry for saying shut up, but it's so quiet, all I got to do is praise God about it. Thank you, Lord. There's got to be some kind of humor in what you do, too. And so children don't know who they can imitate because there's no one to imitate. Rambo? Rocco? Rambo? And what's this other guy? Schwartz and Schweiker or whatever? Huh? I mean, now that's all right, but I'm saying we need someone that'll come up and will put his life on the line and say, follow me as I follow Jesus. Are you hearing this?
There you have it. That was 266 Part 1, Hearts. Be sure to join us on Sunday for the conclusion. It was very hard to break this up because this message is so good. But I did want to do two parts. And I just want to say to Bob Dylan, thank you. Excellent performance Wednesday at Xcel Energy. Pastor Paul and I went. So he was so energetic, so good. Lost the guitar. Musicians were, you know, just taking over on the guitar. So he was like on the piano and the harmonica. So energetic. So I said to Pastor Paul, something was different this time because we've seen him before. What was different? What was different? It took me a day to figure out he didn't have his guitar. So since I like, the hardest part of this podcast is really music. So, wow, we owe him a thank you. We use his music. He's so good.
May God bless and keep you always. May your wishes all come true. May you always do for others and let others do for you. May you build a ladder to the stars and climb on every rung, and may you stay. Joyful, may your song always be sung, and may you stay.